The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Today, statements made during the course of a recently held church service attended by members of the Royal Bahamas Police Force's Drug Enforcement Unit are at the root of the sober-natured topic for today. The topic for today is police integrity. I have in fact been assigned delivery of a very serious message for members of the Royal Bahamas Police Force. It is an assignment that I will not shirk due to its importance. And it is a message that I hope the members of our police force do not choose to ignore either. So for today, there will be no guest, but rather commentary around the six-word message to the men and women in police uniform. And I have to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, my assignment does not stop there, for there is an element of the assignment that involves the remainder of us who operate outside of police uniform, because we must help keep the police, men and women, honest. So, join me for this very important hour to learn all about the message and the assignment at hand. I am Attorney Indiana Fitzgerald, your guest host for this morning, and you are listening to Guardian Radio AM Live on 96.9 FM. Good morning, everybody. Attorney Indiana Fitzgerald in your company, and as always, it's a pleasure to be here with you this morning. Thank you for receiving me into your spaces and entertaining my views and my knowledge regarding any number of subject matters. As I said earlier in my monologue, my topic today is police integrity. And I think I'm going to come at it from a very different perspective than you may have heard before. As I also said in my monologue, there was a church worship service that motivated me in this direction, as well as, of course, direction from God. And that church service would have occurred on the 1st of May, 2022, at the Life Worship Center. The senior pastor there, the leader of the flock, is Bishop Denzel Rohl. And I think many of you know him. He has an excellent ministry and a wonderful singing ministry as well, wonderful teaching ministry. And on that occasion of the 1st of May, 2022, there would have been among the many visitors at the church the chief superintendent of the Drug Enforcement Unit, Mr. Roberto Goodman, and members of the DEU unit as well. On that occasion, ladies and gentlemen, this is what is said, and I'm not telling you everything because, of course, the words were a little more full, but I will pick out certain words that are relevant to today's topic. On that occasion, the chief superintendent was invited to say a few words to the public, and this is what he said among them, that as police officers, whether you're in the force generally or specifically in the Drug Enforcement Unit, he says, quote, "It's difficult sometimes to be out there and to face those criminals." He said that during the process of being out there, he knows, he recognizes that he and those who are with him need to be, quote, protected by the word of God. Following the commentary that the chief superintendent would have given on that day, Bishop Denzel Rohl would then have said these things to those members of the Drug Enforcement Unit that were present. he says as follows, and I quote, "The enemy has set in his people amidst this movement," end quote, meaning the police force. He goes on to say, quote, "There is coming great exposure in your organization," end quote, meaning the police force. He went on to add, quote, "Exposure is coming because there are many of you whose lives have been put at risk by persons that are compromising," end quote. And by the many of you, the bishop was referring to those members of the drug enforcement unit that were in the church service and of course, any others that would not have made it there. The bishop would then go on to say, "I am not one of those judgment fair preachers, but I gotta speak what I see." He goes on, and I quote, "And I see exposure coming to those who are putting your lives at risk. That you go out and plan operations and persons are calling ahead," end quote. He also adds that after following references to the Bible, that there is, quote, "spiritual wickedness in high places," end quote. And finally, he says, "There are demonic powers that believe they own certain sectors of the Royal Bahamas Police Force. They believe this is my area. I control this. But because of men of God like you," and he also referred to women of God here, I'm still quoting him now, "that strongholds are being brought down and there is a new order being established," end quote. And he is sure to say that when he uses the word wicked, he's not calling anyone wicked, but rather referring to demonic powers. I was supposed to attend that church service, ladies and gentlemen, but due to circumstances beyond my control, I could not. So when I learned of what was said there, I went back and reviewed the video for myself, and you can find it for yourself on Facebook as well. All you have to do is type in Life Worship Center and locate it there under the 1st of May, 2022. Now, I'll say this about the church. I can say from my own knowledge of the church, it's a very good church. The teaching is very strong. The spirit that moves in this church is very strong, very heavy, very powerful. And I've tested this bishop, and I know that he can see certain things in the spirit, and I believe that he hears certain things in the spirit. So if he is saying that he sees within the force an element that is untrustworthy, that would call ahead when it knows its own officers are out there risking their lives for you and me, which the bishop points out in other conversation on that day, that they would then go ahead and put those colleagues' lives at risk for whatever reason, whatever has caused them to be compromised. That situation, I believe, he sees. I would be prepared to give him the credit for that. And it is very frightening to think that those who are assigned to serve and protect and who the slogan says are our friends can't even be trusted among themselves if all of the bishop says is true. Now, the thing about it is, you know, I the minute that I played this whole scenario back and I began to commune with the Lord about the scenario that the bishop established in that service, the Lord began to speak to me and he told me certain things to say today, including a message for members of the Royal Bahamas Police Force. So I'm going to be obedient, and I'm not going to be judgmental or preachy to the police, but I'm going to give them their message. And then there's a requirement for you and I, as citizens, civilians, to do some things too. I'm going to tell you that as well. And then it is up to all of us to get it right. Because the fact of the matter is crime is so out of control in this country today. And I think a lot of the reason why it is so out of control is because people in authority aren't doing what they're supposed to do. They're not acting the way that they're supposed to act. People don't have respect for the police anymore. You see how many times police incidences have arisen in the community of violence and killing of civilians, sometimes maybe innocent civilians. And it has caused us to not have a regard for the police the way that we should. And criminals, once they see police acting as badly as they are, they are certainly not going to respect or fear the police or respect repercussions under the law. And so they will continue to act however they want to act. And we are going to continue to suffer because we're going to be locked up in our homes, can't come out, can't go here, can't go there, robbed this day, raped that day, murdered the next, until the authority lines up itself. You know, God took me to a reference in the Bible about Aaron and the oil that pours from Aaron's head down into his beard. And, you know, preachers have for years interpreted that as being a situation in which the Lord is, when righteousness or good behavior starts at the top, it trickles down to the bottom. So from the highest person to the lowest. But when wickedness is at the top, that is also what's going to trickle down from the highest to the lowest. So we need those in authority like the police, the government, and others to do the right thing, be of the right mind. So when that trickles down, we have a better community. I think that's Psalm 133 that makes the reference to Aaron's beard. So this is the direction in which I'm going. And, you know, I understand when the bishop says that, you know, there is a concern that officers may not be able to trust officers. I can remember being an officer in the office of the Attorney General, and there was a lovely young officer there who used to do the police work. As you may or may not know, there are officers assigned to the Attorney General's office who serve summonses, help us get witnesses for cases, and so on and so forth. And that was back then, and that remains the position today. While I was in Freeport prosecuting matters with another colleague from the AG's office, I believe it was there that we got word that this particular young officer was dead. And what had happened was, he had two police officer friends. They all came over to his house one particular weekend and enjoyed a meal prepared by his mother's hand. They all jump in a vehicle to go out and have a good time. And the next thing you know, he never comes back home. When later on, I think it may have even been 3 days later, his body would have been recovered on Arawa Key. He was dead. He was bloated, he was deformed disfigured in terms of his facial area. He had been shot. And I can't remember all of the facts of the case, but I think that he may have even been shot in his back. And there was some claim that he was in the car with these two police officer friends, and they had some gun that they had found, and it accidentally went off shooting him. But if he was indeed shot in his back, the question is, how does that accidentally happen? You know, it also almost seems as if it was a deliberate act. And rather than take him to the hospital after he was suffering from this gunshot wound, he was dumped at Arawa Key. And, of course, he died. And I can remember coming back from Freeport just to attend his funeral. And let me tell you, when I saw him in the casket, he was unrecognizable to me. And I realized then just how, you know, even among friends, particularly colleagues, you don't know who you can trust. Okay. So let me take you into some of the things that I want to talk about today, reference to police integrity. You know, it really has to start for a police officer prior to them coming onto the force. They have to have that good family background and teaching. And I find that some of them, and there's not a whole lot of bad apples on the police force, I believe, you know. Just a handful that makes the whole force look bad. This is what I heard one day. I don't know if you remember when City Meat Market used to operate in the Seagrave Shopping Center. This would have been about 20-odd years ago. And there I was in the refrigeration aisle, and two young men were standing up there. They were packing the shelves in the refrigeration aisle. And one said to the other, you know, I'm applying to the police force. And they have said some things to me. They've asked me where I want to go when I get on the force. And I never realized that that was something that the police used to do. I was always of the view that the police would tell you, this is where you're assigned the minute you get through all of the training and you are accepted onto the force. So the young man who was explaining to the other that he'd made this application indicated that they had said to him, you know, you can make a choice as to where you want to go. Where is it you want to go? And the young man told the other that I told them I want to go to the Drug Enforcement Unit. And he said, and you know why I want to go? I want to go because my friend so-and-so, and he called the name of an individual that I didn't know at the time, even though I was prosecuting, I didn't know this individual at all at Drug Enforcement. He says, my friend at Drug Enforcement is now wealthy because he has a lot of apartments since he has begun his work at Drug Enforcement. So I want to go there so I can have access to the kind of money that gives me the kind of lifestyle my friend has. Now, so you know what he's saying. You know what he's saying. There had to be some corruption there on the level of that particular officer, according to him. If that officer was able, on that government police salary, and we all know even today that ain't nothing, to have apartment complexes such that this young man is envious of the fact that the officer has that and determined to get the same thing through the same measure that is being a part of the force. So we know that corruption is a problem. I remember sitting in a business place one day, and when I finally was able to get in, some gentlemen were coming out of the building, and I recognized one as a police officer, a very popular police officer, and of good enough senior rank. And so once I got in to see the business person, they said, you saw those fellows who just left? I said, yeah. He said, you know what they were here for? I said, no. Person said, they were here to bring me information that they learned on the force about other business persons that should be kept private, kept within the realm of the force. So that once they told me that information, according to this source, I can only say what they told me, that once they had that, I would have a leg up against that business person, something to hold over that business person if that day ever arose. But what they were looking for me to do in exchange for giving me that information, they wanted me to give them a couple dollars so that they could feed their families. So these officers were trading on knowledge they gained in the course of their professional duties in order to make an extra buck, which is shameful, if true. There was also an indication to me by this individual that there was, in the area where their business was located, a certain police station. And these stories I'm telling you would have been some time back. And in that particular police station, there was a head senior man who used to come to the businesses in the area and say, look, for a couple dollars, I could promise your business even better protection than it has had or will have during the ordinary course of police patrols. But you got to give me something. Well, this had gotten to such a boiling point that business persons reported this person. And before they could be dealt with, they quickly moved into retirement. I think there was some exposure about it in the newspaper, but the matter went nowhere. But it's shameful. The same person and others have told me about senior persons using the police car that needs to be on the road to arrive at scenes when incidences happen and conduct investigations or chase down criminals, using those same cars and getting a young police officer on the force to drive them around to business places just to hustle. Hustle, I need $500. You could lend me, you could give me $200. You could get disgraceful. Because what example does it set for the junior officers that are coming up in the force? And I don't know that things have changed. You know, there was an incident that was drawn to my attention. And ladies and gentlemen, I learn a lot. I learn a lot in my personal capacity. I've learned a lot in my legal capacity. So the things that I say are things I either have learned of directly, have observed, or I've been told by very reliable sources, and this information has come to me in any number of ways, and I don't have a reason to make anything up. And I want you to also say here that, I began my reference to a certain church. I haven't colluded with the bishop on anything. I'm just working strictly God here. And God just took me through a journey, just reminding me of these things that I've learned over the period to share with you. Because I don't know. I don't know what officer I'm reaching, who is under the sound of my voice. Who knows? Did they behaving in this way? And they know they need to change. They need to change so the criminal situation in our country can change. So the criminals respect the law, respect the police again, fear the police, fear breaking the law again. Because if they don't, could you imagine the amount of chaos and death and destruction that is yet to come in the Bahamas if we continue to have murders on the street every day, robberies here, rapes here, destroying lives all along the way? There was an incident that came to my attention some years ago, and there was a senior police officer there in that situation. And what used to happen is that senior police officer had the ability to direct where prisoners, you know, that are out on work release could go. And so he used to direct junior officers, I am told, to go to this senior police officer, his apartment complex in a certain area of town and do cleaning and other work there. All right. Now, you know, to the best of my knowledge, that can't be lawful for him to do, to take them from what Tass is supposed to do and do his personal work. So once the junior officers who used to be responsible for carrying those prisoners to the senior officers' place or that, they decide, well, I need some work done around my home, too. So they went and put those prisoners in a vehicle and brought them to their house to do some work. Well, the neighbor, not knowing any better, saw these prisoners dressed in the prison garb around their area. And, you know, of course, prisoners, they so glad to be free, they walking around the road a little bit. And so, you know, the people thought the prisoners were free, loosed, and escaped. So they called the authorities. And now the police swooped down to investigate, allegedly, these escaped prisoners. Well, now here it is when the junior officers have to explain themselves. They say, but the chief, our boss, uses these prisoners. So we step up and we use them too. And as far as I know, nothing ever came out of the matter. All of those persons involved remain on the force, because how could you discipline the junior man and then don't do nothing with the senior man? And this, I am told, reliably so, was a very senior man. Anyway. Then I was told at one point by an officer that I knew that they were awaiting promotion. So they were called down to a certain area to speak with a certain senior man, very popular man today. And when they went down there, the person is no longer on the force, that senior man. When they went down there, the person said, you know, I can put you up for promotion, but I need, I think the word was 3 cowboys. So I said to the officer, what's 3 cowboys? He said, that's $3,000. The senior man was asking the junior man for $3,000. So the officer told me, in order to gain the promotion, I said, but by the time you give him the $3,000 out of any promotion, the money that you would have gained by the promotion is lost to him. That's what he told me. And he said, he told the man no, so he didn't get the promotion. There's some, I am told, on the force who will, an officer said to me, say to themselves, my situation is desperate. I need $500 or however much for my mortgage this month. I ain't got it. But if someone would call that person and say, look, I need some information you all have about a certain address of a person, and I'll pay you $500 for it, there are officers that will take it, that will take the $500, no matter what it means for the person whose address is, that is revealed. So I asked the question then, does that explain why, you remember there was a period here in this country where many in witness protection were dying in witness protection? Did someone in the force sell them out? Did someone in the force cause them to die? And were those officers, if they were responsible, remorseful after? Or were they, yeah, well, that's life, but my mortgage is at least up to date? Then I'm told by officers that there are times when they may be in the field and something goes awry. They didn't mean for it to happen, but they realize, for example, they killed somebody. Maybe they were frightened in a certain scenario and they pulled the trigger and they should have maybe done another thing or whatever it is. Now, they have to cover it up. Dead man, they say, can't talk. So the killed person can't say, well, you wrongfully shot me and that's why I laying down here dead. Because if that happens, I can be running. If I hear that happen, I could be running because some strange spirits will be occupying this land. I say that as me. But the officer told me so that when you have situations like that, some officers will look for a gun that they've recovered, what they call a dirty gun from some other scene. They'll hold on to it, and they will plant it on persons. If that is true, shame on you, though. Shame on you, man. Sometimes the truth will really set you free. You know, and you may have killed an innocent person, a person who may have been a father or a mother or someone looking after parents or helping other relatives with their children or, you know, a very valuable part of the society. That life was snuffed out because you had a scenario in your life where you caused them harm and now you make them look like a criminal. So their legacy in death is one of criminality when they may have been nothing but innocent. It can't continue that way if that is what is happening. And I'm asking you, put those dirty guns away. If you find a gun anywhere, they should be in police lockup. And that is something that police need to mind, that police lockup. And make sure that when 100 guns are in a police lockup, 100 guns are there today, tomorrow, the next day, and officers aren't using it to do wicked things. There was a case an officer told me in which an officer was doing badly. They were driving through an area and there were these fellas sitting on the block and the officer had another person in the car, was also an officer, and they screeched on brakes, and the main officer in that car was a senior person as well. Said to him, hey, y'all need a gun or what? This is according to the officer now. And the fella said, yeah, man, he could always use a gun. Now, if I were them, I think it's a setup. But obviously, this person made them feel secure. And the person said, give me a minute, I'll be back. The next thing they know, the gun comes back with the man. And $500, I think they told me, was exchanged. I don't know if this is happening today. But this shouldn't be happening. This shouldn't be happening. There's a reason God is reminding me of all these things. Because I believe some of this may still be present in our community. If it is, it has to stop. It has to stop. Because we can't continue along these lines. We can't, not as a country, not as a little itty-bitty country that relies on tourism to butter our bread. People are still coming here. They're still willing to take the risk to visit. But every 2 minutes you turn around, the U.S. is warning people about traveling to this country. When I look on Facebook on a regular basis, there are people who are out there, just regular bloggers, saying, don't come here. They rape, they kill, they steal, they rob tourists. I speak to people from downtown because I'm a very friendly person. They say, many times the tourists are told, stay on the boat. It's not safe to land here. You thought it was bad when we were locked down for 2 years of COVID. Imagine if things dry up because things continue to get worse here because we don't get this crime situation under control, because we don't get rogue police and rogue criminals under control. I remember an incident even. And I'm going to talk to police officers who abuse the power of their badge for personal reasons. There was a matter, and I believe it was reported in the press, if I'm not mistaken, many years ago in my early days as a prosecutor, where a young officer got a complaint from their sister that someone had robbed her of a gold chain. He went and got his police officer friends and took that person that was accused of that incident back to the station, and rather than let someone else investigate the matter, he and his alleged colleagues reportedly took some action against that guy, and that person reportedly died in the station. I was looking for that report in the news, but you know, I guess social media doesn't go back that far. That should never have happened. The conflict of interest of it being his family member involved should have been one in which that officer, you said, you know, I should not get involved with this. And I'm going to say to the police officers who are afraid to deal with persons in high society when they do wrong, please, there should be nobody above the law. The rule of law says so. And I can tell you there was a case where a colleague and I represented a particular client. And on that, in that situation, there was a particular cabinet officer, cabinet minister serving at the time, causing that particular client problems. Such that, you know, back in that day, I used to go to church midday for spiritual food rather than food. And so I said to the colleague, well, let's go worship the Lord for lunch. And we did that. And all of a sudden, our phones are blasting off, but we have it on silent, so we don't know. So someone comes from the front desk and says, listen, you have a client on the line. They know that you're here, and something urgent is going on with them. And so, you know, we dashed out of church, and we made the call, and the client said, you know, the cabinet minister's people had sent a police officer to terrorize them at their home. I said to the colleague, let's go get the person. Let's go up to police headquarters and speak with the complaints and corruption unit people. We did that. We made our report. The matter then proceeded on to court sometime later. So I went back to the police complaints and corruption unit, and I said to them, look, I need just a letter from you confirming that we came here and made this complaint in the presence of our client, on behalf of our client. You know what they said to me? There's no complaint here of that nature. There's no record of you all ever being here and having said anything. So I spoke to one of the ladies that was there, and I said, but you were here when I was there. I said, isn't it your policy to provide official letters, if requested, that a certain complaint was made? She said, yes. So I said, may I speak with the officer with whom I spoke and my colleague spoke and the client spoke on the day, so I can find out what's going on? And I was told by that person that I could hold. They reached out to that person, and that senior man said, I think he was at least an inspector, said, he's not coming to the phone, he's not returning any call to me, and if I have anything to say, I better say it to his boss. So needless to say, we never had the information in time for the court matter or since. That is wrong. But it was my experience and my reality. So imagine the poor client not knowing from that point on whether or not this is how it's always going to be every time you had to complain about that cabinet minister to the police. But such is life. I don't know if Mr. Raming wants to take the break. If not, I'll continue. I'll tell you about another incident. There was a particular housekeeper in a very well-off-to-do home. And that housekeeper was accused of stealing some jewelry from the home. She said, I didn't do it. But because this was a well-off person, the police were prepared to go to town for this person because they knew that this person would financially reward them for solving the matter. And I have great personal knowledge about this situation. And so they went and grabbed up the woman. She said, well, you know, I have a young child under the age of 7. I need to make some arrangements for them, at least if you're going to take me to the station and question me. They told her, well, that's too bad. You go into the station, we don't really care about what happens to this child in this scenario. They went down there. They used all kinds of homophobic slurs against the lady and bragged about it and laughed about it. And there's a reason why I am able to say this. All right? Come to find out, the jewelry wasn't lost at all. So, the day before, the woman was scheduled to go to court on the matter. And the police are speaking with the person who made the accusation. The person says, oh, well, you know, I found the jewelry, everything cool. The police said, but it can't be cool because we done lock up this woman. We didn't call her everything but a child of God. And now we're getting ready to take it to court tomorrow, and you're telling us everything cool. Where was this jewelry? And the person said, well, right where I normally keep it. I don't know how it get back there. Now, this woman had no more access to the property once she was arrested and detained, so she couldn't put it back. But the person's hair didn't cool. And plus, the person said, y'all got to work that out now as to what you're going to do with her because I am going on a very long vacation. Disgraceful. I want to talk a little bit about police and gangs. You know, former National Security Minister Marvin Dame said, you know, there are police on the force who come from the community. So if they're in a gang, well, I guess they will be in a gang on the force. I'm going to say to those officers, please, you see the gang wars and the murders caused by these gang wars in the Bahamas. Get out of that. Fight it. Not aid it. You know that down at CID now, they are trying to prosecute people in unlawful gangs and organized crime groups of gangs and take them off the street for a very long time. I think it's 20 years, trying to fine them $500,000 for being engaged in criminal activity. Then you go out there and you in the gang and you go in and arrest another gang. People, they know you in another gang as an officer. You go in arresting these young little people, children and other persons for other types of crime. And they know you in a gang, you are not a good officer. You know, God is telling me to tell you, no matter what nonsense you mix up in today on the force, no matter how unright your mind is thinking or how wrong you are behaving as an officer, there is room to change. Put your foot down and say, as of today, I'm not going to be that person no more. I'm going to do a switch. And anybody who was doing bad things with me, they should know now. I'm not going to do it, and I'm not going to tolerate them doing it. I am going to do what I'm assigned to do. That is to be a lawful officer, a law-abiding police officer who carries out the law as I am supposed to do in accordance with the duties that I have been assigned on the force. You know, I'm very concerned. And I turned on my Facebook the other day. And you all will remember that there was a murder last year, 2021. Six men were killed in Jerome Avenue. And now I'm seeing this individual come online on Facebook, and he's saying that a certain officer, and he's naming that person, is connected with those murders. I don't know if it's true. I don't even know if that officer exists. Because you go there asking a question, is this officer on the force? When you look, you have a problem with the police on your hands, right? So I'm going to say, I'm asking. I'm sure I'm not the only one who's seen that. I don't engage Facebook. I look at it. I don't get involved in it. I don't solicit any information on it, to tell you the truth. But if I've seen it, I know other police officers have seen it. I believe the senior persons in the brass, the top brass of the force have seen it. I'm asking, are you looking at this officer then? If he exists on the force, if this allegation could be true, because the public's still waiting for an answer about that murder over 1 year ago. They want to know who was involved. And I'm asking the media to be the media that you need to be. Investigate. And I'm asking for media bosses to back their journalists. Investigate. What the police don't want to tell you, let the media tell you. They're the fourth estate. You're responsible for holding many, many accountable. Many accountable. Let's get the work done, shall we, to make this a better place. So I want to tell you now, this is the message, the six-word message that I spoke about in my monologue that God gave to me when he woke me up first thing Friday morning past. This is after hearing the message from Bishop Denzel Roll at Life Worship Center and marinating on that all week and hearing from the Lord on that all week as to what I need to say. This was the message. I quote to the police officers, and I quote, do not go the wrong way. Do not go the wrong way. And it's simply for the reason. I am saying now, based on what God has guided me to say, that it's because you can be exposed. And exposure could be very bad for you. It could cause you to lose your job as a police officer. It could cause you to not be able to therefore take care of your family. It could cause you to have difficulties trying to find another job. It could also result in you being prosecuted and putting right in the prisons, being put right in the prison with all the other criminals that you and other officers have taken off the street all over the years. And I'm sure that's not a pretty place, nor a place where you want to be. Let me share a story. Years ago when I had just become, I think we're going to a break now. I'll be back with more after the break. You are listening to Guardian Radio AM Live on 96.9 FM. I am attorney Indiana Fitzgerald in your company. Stick and stay. We'll be back in a moment.
Miami is waiting for you, and Island Pay wants to take you there. Yes, you heard that correctly. Island Pay is giving away 5 priceless trips to Miami for 2 people just for using your MasterCard prepaid card. Every $30 you spend gets you a chance to win, whether it's on groceries, gas, diapers, clothes, gifts, online, and others. It's all counting and getting you closer to an unforgettable experience in Miami. Don't have an Island Pay MasterCard yet? No problem. Get yours today. And Island Pay will give you $15 back. Island Pay, a better way to pay, a better way to win. Promotion running March 21st to May 18th, 2022. Conditions apply. Visit islandpay.com to learn more.
It's back, one of the biggest regattas on the sailing calendar. It's the 53rd annual Long Island Regatta in Salt Pond, Long Island, June 1st to 4th. Yeah. The biggest economic boost for Long Island is back with more than 40 sloops competing in the A, B, C, and D classes, along with the Long Island Youth Regatta and the Man in the Boat Sculling Races. Don't miss this major cultural experience June 1st to 4th. The 53rd annual Long Island Regatta in Salt Pond. All of the fastest sloops will be there. Artisans displaying their handmade crafts, jewelry, and straw work. Great food, including the world-famous native mutton dishes. And endless memories all await you at the 53rd annual Long Island Regatta in Salt Pond.
Long Island breeze, your sheep are bleating.
Guardian Media will be broadcasting live at the 53rd annual Long Island Regatta with live updates of the sailing results and activities every day. If you'd like to be a sponsor, just contact your account executive or call the Nassau Guardian at 302-2300. That's 302-2300. Yes, it's back. One of the biggest regattas on the sailing calendar. It's the 53rd annual Long Island Regatta in beautiful Salt Pond, Long Island, June 1st to 4th.
Yeah.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Guardian Radio AM Live on 96.9 FM. This is attorney Indiana Fitzgerald in your company. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of the things I'm telling you about, all of these happened many years ago. These are stories that I'm telling you, not stories. These are accounts that I'm telling you many years ago. There's many things that I cannot say about how I know what I know. And I don't want anybody to come after the Guardian. I take full responsibility what is said here. I say that these things where I don't have personal knowledge, they are reported to me. And where they have been my personal knowledge, I can tell you because I would have done some things as an attorney on behalf of clients and had those experiences, as I said, where the client complaint wasn't taken seriously. And I'm always one. When I say certain things and it's direct from me, I have my evidence. I have my proof. I can call names if I have to. So don't come for the guardian. If anything, you'll have to come for me. And then I'll have to let God be my lawyer in that one. You know, this was a very difficult topic for me to take on to this morning, simply because I knew that it may have some repercussions. And yet I chose to obey God, because I know that the repercussions for me not obeying him are far greater than any that man can inflict upon me. And I think we need to get to a place of more courage in this country, where we say when wrong is occurring and we make a move to correct it. Because, you know, I don't know anybody right now in this country, not in government, not even on in some of these big civil organizations that are speaking as strongly to issues the way that I'm speaking to them today. I am what seems to be the lone voice in the wilderness at the moment. But I take it on because I know that God has taken me through some horrific experiences in life to bring me to a place where I could have the courage to say these things today and then leave it to him to address any repercussion. So please don't come for the guardian. Don't sue them. If anything, talk to me. The guardian has my number. You'll be able to reach me at where I operate and say what you have to say to me. And I leave it that there. But I was talking about exposure and why I'm encouraging officers to do the right thing. You know, when I first became an attorney, there was a matter involving a police officer. He had seen a couple having relations on the beach. And at the time, as I understood, that was not an offense. It became an offense much later. And so he said to them, well, if you give me $150, I'll forget about it. Well, they didn't have the money then. So they said, well, look, we'll have to meet you somewhere and bring it tomorrow. And so that tomorrow came. And he came. And they came to the spot. And little did he know, they had gone to the police, reported his behavior. And so when he creased himself up there, the police were creased up there, and they locked him up. And as a result, he lost his position on the force for $150, less than $200. And he was trying to fight it. But I thought to myself, well, what are you doing? You can't deny that you offered this bribe. You were telling them give you this bribe, because you now to the place where you tell them deliver it to you. What more evidence would the police have needed to deal with you? There was also a matter that I had some time ago, and it involved a case of a child being molested, and there were some persons being involved. I won't go into specific details, just to spare the station. There's a particular police, a senior police person that I asked to give me the information that social services was requiring in order to have a look at the child and make sure that the child was not actually being arrested. But for certain reasons, the senior man didn't want to give me the information. So I reached out to what I was told was a new as a family friend on the force and a Christian, biggest Christian, they say, on the force. And I said to them, I need this information for social services. They've reached out. They need it. And the person said, well, I ain't getting in that. I said, but what if this was your child being molested? You wouldn't want somebody else to get in it and allow social services to do the checks that they need to do and clear the person's name if the person is innocent. He said, well, I ain't getting in that. I said, okay, I'm very disappointed in you, but okay. Do you know after that, that officer went on to the family island, got in some kerfuffle up there. They threw him back to Nassau. He got into major issues here in the public scandals that were in the newspaper, but I won't say who they are to call their name. And do you know, eventually, I think some favor caused them not to be prosecuted, but there were public calls for them to be removed from the force, and they resigned. Short of when they needed to be off the force, short of achieving probably other high office as a member of the Royal Bahamas Police Force, because they just lacked integrity. So I'm asking the ladies and gentlemen of the police force to please note cameras everywhere, people taking pictures everywhere. Police people are seeing you when you don't act right. And they will expose you now. People aren't scared to put your information out on Facebook. They're not afraid to talk about you on the news. They aren't afraid to cough up information to your superiors about you. So please, in the name of Jesus, make a decision to turn your life around today and be a better officer. I used to attend a certain church, and Bishop V.G. Clark used to be the head of that church, and he always used to say, you know, don't do that no more. If you know you did something wrong, just don't do that no more. I'm asking you to be a good cop. Be a good cop. I have a story here. There was a big drug bust many years ago, and I'm told by a relative following the bust that that there was a decision to be made on the spot. Should we take the cash that's here and leave just the drugs? Or one, and one officer said, if you move any cash from here, I'm not going to be part of that. Because he held out and they couldn't trust whether or not he would report the rest of them. They all had to leave the cash. That's the kind of officers I pray we continue to see on the force. Right-minded, right-thinking officers. And some of you, you know, your officers, and you know that, hey, your colleagues aren't behaving right. But you know you don't feel comfortable going to the top brass and saying it. So what you got to do, make the anonymous information available to the crime tipsters, the same crime tipsters you say we should call and give anonymous information to if we know something. That's what I'm asking you to do. That's what I'm asking you to do. And I'm asking the Attorney General's office to consider drafting legislation for there to be a place, an office of integrity, for example, to be created where people, the public and the police officers that are honest on the force can go and make complaints about those who are rogue. And that office not just be used for those kinds of complaints, but and be independent and separate of the police force so you don't have to worry about police investigating police. You let it be also available when we have complaints about allegedly crooked parliamentarians or anybody else that is not operating according to the law. And if you don't do that, at least create a unit in the AG's office or the DPP's office where officers can go and say, this is happening on the force. And I know you all have to work with these officers when you're making your cases, but this officer can't be trusted because they're doing this and they're doing that. And when they say this person confessed, it really wasn't so because this and that, let that unit investigate. I'm just asking that we think out of the box now, because ain't no more thinking inside of the box. Inside the box, thinking hasn't been working, or else we would not be in the situation we're in this country today. And I'm saying, when you have officers who go out there and kill people in situations where it's clear that, hey, they were acting unlawfully when they committed that offense, you don't waste time in no coroner's court. Look at the evidence. Is this sufficient to charge these persons with murder? Do that. Because when are we going to get to these matters from the coroner's court anyway? I don't even know if that court is functional now, especially after the pandemic. There is a tremendous backlog there already. When will justice be served? Justice delayed is justice denied. So let's just get real here. These are the things we need to be thinking about every day. And for the public, I'm asking you, and I put this burden on myself as well. If you raise good children, pray for the police. Pray for the police. You hear what Officer Goodman say? He know we need the word of God to help them get through every day. Pray for them. Because they out there risking their lives. Those good officers risking their lives for us. I think it's more good officers than bad out there. I already say it. So the good officers don't need to get mad at me. It's only you who may not be acting in accordance with God's law and the law of this land that I'm talking to. Please. Let's do what we're supposed to do. Media, hold them accountable. Hold them accountable. And for y'all, I did. You know, people used to call me all the time and say, "Indy, I've been in situations where police officers pulled me over for a simple traffic violation. My light was out or something, and they tell me if I don't pay them something, they can do me this, do me that." I almost feel like if I tell them no, they can shoot me on the spot or harm me or something. So I went with them to the ATM. And I gave them what they wanted. And they would likely hide the car away from the bank cameras and this. Don't do that. Tell them no. Stand your ground. Survive the incident. Go and make a complaint. Ladies and gentlemen, let's make our country better. Let's take a stand. Let's follow righteousness. Let's follow righteousness for our sake and our children's sake. Thanks to my producer, Mr. Kermit Ramming. Thanks to you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Thank you to all of the show sponsors. Thank you to Mr. Dwight Strawn for the opportunity. Thank you to my family and friends for praying for me always. And most importantly of all, thank you to God, my source and my protector and my provider. I am Indiana Fitzgerald, attorney at law, your guest host for the day. And you have been listening to Guardian Radio AM Live on 96.9 FM.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.